Hi, I'm Robin.
And I'm Chris. Together we're the Gen X couple.
Hey guys.
Take one. Hello, everyone.
We got it on the first take last week, too.
We did.
Let's see. I hope I didn't just jinx us. Anyway, welcome back to the Gen X couple.
And today we're going to talk about things you didn't know you wanted to know.
That's right. Have you ever wondered why we let the cat out of the bag, or what we mean when we say something costs an arm and a leg? Well, we're going to uncover the fascinating, funny, and downright bizarre origins of common phrases that you use every day.
Yeah, you might not know it, but your vocabulary is full of history, mystery, and a little bit of absurdity. So buckle up, because we're going to drive down the rabbit hole of the meaning of everyday phrases. See what I did there?
No, because you said drive down the rabbit hole, but I think you meant dive down the rabbit hole. Which...
Well, maybe driving down could be a new phrase. Started right here.
But, well, anyway, since you brought up the phrase... down the rabbit hole. See, I just omitted the diving and driving part completely. So the phrase down the rabbit hole, we might as well just start with that one, right? So the phrase down the rabbit hole comes from Lewis Carroll's 1865 novel, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Yeah, you know that story. In the story, Alice follows the white rabbit and falls into a deep rabbit hole, which leads her to the bizarre and surreal world of Wonderland. Originally, the phrase simply referred to entering a strange or unexpected situation, and over time it's evolved, especially with the internet, to describe getting deeply absorbed in something, like watching hours of conspiracy theory videos or researching random topics way longer than you intended to.
And the next phrase, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, comes from the practice of examining a horse's teeth to determine its age and overall health. When someone gifted you a horse in the past, it was considered rude or ungrateful to inspect its mouth to check the quality of the gift. After all, you weren't paying for it.
The phrase likely originated in the 4th or 5th century and is attributed to... I just stumbled over my words. It's attributed to St. Jerome, who used a similar Latin expression in one of his letters. I don't know if I should even pronounce this. Noli equi dentes inspiracy denati. I hope I didn't just summon a demon. And that roughly translates to never inspect the teeth of a given horse. It became part of English usage later, solidifying its place in idiomatic history.
Today it's a way of saying be thankful for what you're given without questioning its value. So next time someone gives you a gift, maybe skip the quality check. Even if it's not a horse.
I just lost my place in my notes. But no, I found it. This next phrase sounds painful. Bite the bullet. You guys have heard that. If someone tells you to bite the bullet, they're basically saying, suck it up and deal with it. But why a bullet? Couldn't it be like bite the cupcake or something a little bit less terrifying? Well, back in the day, like the really old days of battlefield surgeries, anesthesia wasn't always available. So soldiers were told to literally bite down on a bullet during surgery to deal with the pain. Yes, the alternative to painkillers was dental work. Now, the next time someone tells you to bite the bullet, you can say, no thanks, I'll take Advil.
Luckily, today we don't have to resort to chewing on ammunition to get through tough situations. Imagine showing up to a dentist office and they're like, we're out of Novocaine, but here's a bullet. Good luck.
Oh my God. And how about the phrase, break the ice?
When you hear someone say, let's break the ice, it's usually in the context of an awkward small talk, right? Like at a network event where everyone's clinging to the coffee cups like life rafts.
Yeah, that sounds like my worst nightmare. But the phrase actually comes from shipping. In the old days, ships stuck in frozen waters would need icebreakers to, well, break the ice so that they could move forward. So in a way, breaking the ice at a party is like getting past the frosty small talk to make some actual connections. Unless, of course, someone tells a really bad joke and then the ice just gets thicker.
If you ever stayed up late cramming for a test or binge-watching your favorite show, you've burned the midnight oil.
Mm-hmm.
And this phrase dates back to the days when people used oil lamps for light. Burning the oil meant working late into the night. Today, we don't need oil lamps. We have Netflix and energy drinks.
Thank God.
But that the idea is the same. Staying up late, doing something important. Or let's be honest, completely unnecessary.
Yeah, that's more like it. Have you ever spilled a secret? That's letting the cat out of the bag. This phrase actually dates back to medieval markets. Vendors would often sell live pigs in sacks, but some sneaky sellers would swap out the pigs for a much less valuable and much more disgruntled cat. When the buyer opened the bag and let the cat out, the scam was revealed. So today, when we accidentally reveal a secret, we say we've let the cat out of the bag. I'm just imagining those poor medieval cats thinking, hey, I didn't sign up for this. So the next time you blurt out a surprise party plan, just blame the sneaky medieval farmers.
Now, how about raining cats and dogs? Spoiler alert, it has nothing to do with pets falling from the sky. This one sounds like something straight out of a Dr. Seuss book, doesn't it? One popular theory is that the phrase originated in 17th century England, where poorly designed roofs couldn't withstand heavy rain. And during storms, stray animals taking shelter in the rafters would sometimes fall through, making it literally rain cats and dogs. But another theory ties it to the Norse mythology, where cats symbolize storms and dogs symbolize wind. Either way, it makes our weather reports sound a lot more dramatic. Today's forecast, partly cloudy, with a 70% chance of Labradors. I could have it rain marsh, though.
Yeah, I would be okay if it rained cats and dogs. I mean, that sounds like a dream to me. Imagine all those little cute babies you get to pet. Anyway, let's move on before we get on the topic of marsh. How about the bee's knees? The bee's knees, which... What do you call it? The bee's G's? You say bee's something genius. Weird. I don't even know why.
I love that phrase, though.
Well, you never even say it correctly. You say the bee's G's, and it's really the bee's knees. And that's a phrase that means something is excellent, outstanding, or of very high quality. But why bees? Do they even have knees? This phrase became popular in the 1920s during the Jazz Age, along with other whimsical expressions like the cat's pajamas and the elephant's eyebrows. The origin is unclear, but it may have been inspired by the idea that the bees collect the best nectar on their knees, even though they actually store it in their bodies. It could also just be a fun nonsense phrase that caught on. And really, have you ever seen a sad bee?
No.
Nope.
Now, here's a phrase you probably used all the time. Rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
It means a general guideline, right? But its origins are controversial. One theory suggests it comes from an old law that allowed a man to beat his wife with a stick no thicker than his thumb.
Yikes.
Yikes, really. Thankfully, that's been debunked. The phrase likely comes from carpenters who use their thumbs for rough measurements. Let's stick with that explanation. It's way less horrifying.
Yeah, way less horrifying. Now, here's one I say sometimes, close but no cigar. And this one takes us back to the carnival. Back in the day, cigars were given as prizes for carnival games. If you didn't quite hit the target, you'd hear close but no cigar. Today, we've swapped cigars for giant teddy bears, but the phrase has stuck around. And honestly, who wants a cigar over a giant stuffed panda?
Really?
Seriously.
Now, you've all heard the phrase, Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that TV show, too.
I have never seen an episode of Saved by the Bell, and I purposely didn't watch it in protest because that was the beginning of the end of Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah, that was like the first live action show that they put on a Saturday morning, and I was infuriated. So I boycotted it, have boycotted it. I will never see it. The end of rant.
I did not know that about you.
Told you that.
So if you ever escaped a tough situation just in time, you've been saved by the bell. But did you know this phrase might come from the Victorian England? When people were terrified of being buried alive, they attached bells to coffins so that if someone woke up, they could ring it for help. Talk about a life and death situation.
Yeah, we've heard that a few times on different ghost tours we've gone on. They've talked about how common it was for people to be buried alive. So they would attach bells that like went down into the coffin that people could ring if they woke up. That's horrifying. Yeah,
very scary.
Yeah.
And do you want to talk about going on a wild goose chase?
Sure. Shakespeare fans, this one's for you. Wild goose chase first appeared in Romeo and Juliet. It originally referred to a type of horse race where riders mimicked the unpredictable flight of a goose. Today, it's all about chasing something elusive or pointless, like finding the TV remote when you're sure it's in the couch cushions.
And there's the phrase, in a pickle, which is another Shakespeare gem. In The Tempest, being in a pickle referred to being in a difficult or confusing situation. And honestly, pickles are kind of confusing. Are they cucumbers? Are they snacks? Are they side dishes? The answer is yes, all of them above. Unless you're my youngest, who hates pickles.
He does hate pickles, but yes was the correct answer. Pickles are delicious, and I will always take pickles. Always. Next up, something that costs an arm and a leg is a term that we use to describe anything that's ridiculously expensive, like concert tickets, avocado toast, or let's be honest, college tuition. One theory traces this phrase back to the 18th century portrait painting. Back then, it was common for artists to charge more for a full body portrait. If you wanted your arms and legs included, you were looking at a much heftier price tag. So leaving out those limbs wasn't just an artistic choice, it was a budget friendly one. Can you imagine commissioning a portrait and saying, just head and shoulders, please? I gotta save for the groceries.
Yeah. Here's a fun one. The whole nine yards. It means going all out, giving 100%. But where does that number nine come in? Is it football? No. Some say it originated during World War II, where fighter pilots were given 9-yard-long ammunition belts. If they used up the entire belt in battle, they've given the whole 9 yards. And another theory ties it to the fabric needed for custom-made Scottish kilt. Either way, I'll say the phrase delivers in style or firepower.
The phrase "don't spill the beans" likely originated in ancient Greece and is thought to be tied to a voting system using beans. Kind of like that episode of The Office where they were trying to decide who to give a raise to,
yes,
and they put beans on the pictures. Anyways, I digress. In some Greek city names, members would... I totally just messed that up. I had it in my outline and I read the wrong line, so... Let me start over. In some Greek city-states, members would vote on important matters by placing a white bean, which meant yes, or a black bean, which meant no, into a jar. If someone accidentally or intentionally tipped over the jar revealing the beans, the results of the vote would be prematurely disclosed, essentially spilling the beans. Over time, the phrase came to mean revealing a secret or letting out information before the appropriate time. While the exact historical connection is debated, the Greek voting practice is most widely cited in this origin story.
And that's going to do it for today, folks. So the next time you spill the beans or find yourself on a wild goose chase, you'll know exactly where it came from and maybe impress a few friends along the way. So thanks for tuning in today, and we hope you enjoyed these trivial facts. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell your friends.
Yeah, and if you have any that you're curious about, be sure to send us an email. You know where to find us, and we can include it maybe in a future episode. And next week, we're going to do part one of my favorite topic. You know how Chris gets so excited over marshmallow? I get so excited over Disney. So we've got a 4-part series for Disney for Beginners. It's been very highly requested because most people who know us in real life know how into Disney we are. So I broke it down. I have a very extensive bulleted outline to go over with you guys. And we're looking forward to giving everyone our best tips to plan a Walt Disney World vacation.
And until next time, see you later, alligator.
In a wild crocodile.